All right, well, I'm going to call our September 2nd, 2025 meeting to order today. We have two of the commissioners in person, and then Josh, I guess you're remote. So we'll go through the agenda, starting with approving of the minutes from the August 19th meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion.
I will second that. Any friendly amendments, discussion, debate? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
The minutes are approved. Moving on to the loan portfolio today, we have six loans that are a little over $3.8 million. I move to approve the loan portfolio. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, John. Rich will pass it over to you to walk us through the six loans we're reviewing today.
Thanks, Sarah. You know, the School District of Siren is asking for $2 million to fund operations. The situation there is that their fund balance had been significantly impacted by some unforeseen events, namely some critical building repairs and substantial increases in special education costs. The special education costs resulted in fund transfers that have exceeded their expectations and driven really by student needs for specialized services. And so they need those funds to continue their day-to-day operations and to rebalance their fund balances or refund their fund balances. One thing I wanted to talk about is that this loan utilized what we call the publishing method for obtaining elector approval, which is one of the alternatives to holding a referendum to get, you know, the voters behind the project. This method entails getting school board approval of the loan application and the BCPL borrowing resolution, and then the district must publish a notice detailing that borrowing. Opponents to the loan then have 30 days to obtain signatures on a petition that would force a referendum. The number of signatures must exceed 20% of the number of voters that voted in the last gubernatorial election from that district. Following that 30-day period, if no petition is filed, the borrowing is deemed approved by the electors and the loan can move forward. In this case, the petition period has ended and no petition has been filed. But often with these situations, what we will do is move forward during the petition period to speed up the process. And in those situations, what we will do is not fund the loan until we receive the affidavit of publication of that notice and then a certification by the clerk that no petition has been received. Are there any questions on that particular loan?
I don't have any questions. You know,
not a lot of these come across the board, so I thought that I would explain the process.
Is that an alternative just in every case they can do the publication or just?
For loans that are 10 years or less.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have any questions relating to this loan since the period has passed, but Tom, I think it would be helpful to my understanding is that the language in our loan documents says that if that condition comes into effect, they're to contact BCPL. And I do think it would be helpful to make clear that if the condition comes into effect that prevents them from borrowing, that the loan is not in effect. And so I just want to flag that for future reference. And we'll leave it at that for now.
I believe, Josh, that is already a requirement because we include forms with the loan application that we require prior to being funded. And if they can't complete those forms because they haven't received, they did not publish or they received a petition, then the loan would never be funded. It would be canceled immediately.
Josh, is that? Makes sense. And then that was going to be my question, Rich, because I thought that it's pretty explicit in all the documentation.
Sometimes they just need money. They don't really have the time to wait for that full 30-day period before our process would begin.
Right. So, but it's pretty clear that if they get some sort of petition that has met the 20%, that we will not.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll take a look at the official letter that gets sent with the application and make sure that that's clear in that letter.
Yeah, I was just thinking Tom, as our counsel, could look from sort of the legal piece of it. And but if we're confident, Tom, that that's fine. I can follow up offline if I have any further questions.
We will take a closer look at it, Josh, just to make sure that there's no loopholes or gray areas there. So,
great, thank you.
The other loan might need a little explanation is the next loan, number two, the town of Ledgeview is borrowing $485,000 to finance a land purchase. Now, this land is adjacent to their current business park, and they are buying it to for development purposes in the future. The other loans are what we like to call bread and butter.
Rich, can you maybe talk us through the finance operations for Bristol?
I think they're just running a little bit short. They had some cost overruns in their current budget.
That's why it's only 2 years.
Right, yeah.
They lost their longtime town board chair.
Yeah, you know, they had a town chair that was a good supporter of BCPL, and the town of Bristol has been an excellent customer of ours, and he passed away last year.
Sorry to hear that. Any other questions about the loans for today? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of approving the loan portfolio, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
The loans are approved. Moving into old business, since the budget passed in July, with the motion, I believe, the omnibus motion 130, which was to using the traffic law fine and forfeiture revenues in Milwaukee County and have that no longer go to the common school fund, but go to the revenues from that will go to support district attorneys in Milwaukee County.
Technically, it just goes to their attorney's office. That's a different provision, but yeah.
But it's not going to stay in the common school
Correct.
Fund.
That's the part we're worried about. They can spend theirs however
right,
they
want. Right. And knowing that under the Constitution, it says clear proceeds from fines and forfeitures should go to the Constitution. We've been talking about as fiduciaries, specifically with the common school fund, under prudent investor standard, the obligation that we have, and kind of what this means for us. And so the potential of litigation is very clear. And so what kind of, I think after the last two meetings, having this conversation in closed session seems to be the next step for us as a board. And so I move under section 19.85 to transition this meeting into closed session.
Sub 1, sub G.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded, Josh.
Pursuant to our earlier discussion, I'm going to recuse myself from that discussion. So just to make folks aware.
Are you going to still be on the call then, or no?
Not for the closed session. When we come back to open, which I think we are. So,
yeah.
I'll be here.
Josh, because I'm not the AG or the attorney, just the board chair here. How should we be getting legal counsel to navigate us through this conversation?
I'll let Tom address that since I'm recusing.
There's been a motion. It's been seconded by John. Thank you. All those in favor of going to closed session, say aye. Aye. Great. We are moving into closed session. Great.
I'll aye. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Josh.
Hi, everyone. We're going to go back into regular session now, so I will connect the meeting back to you. Hey, give me a second.
All right. Thank you, Tweet. Well, hi, everyone. I'm going to just call our meeting back into open session. So after our conversation, basically where we are is we're going to introduce a resolution. And the resolution is basically asking the BCPL and the parties involved to come to a legislative solution first and foremost. So I'm going to ask Tom to read the resolution as proposed.
All right. A. Article 10, Section 2 of the State Constitution provides that all monies and the clear proceeds of all property that may accrue to the state by forfeiture or escheat, and the clear proceeds of all fines collected in the several counties for any breach of the penal laws be deposited in the common school fund. B. In State of Wisconsin, XREL Commissioners of Public Lands v. Walter E. Anderson, County Treasurer of Kenosha County, 56 Wis 2nd 666, 1973, the Wisconsin Supreme Court recognized the legislature's authority to define clear proceeds, but limited that authority so that the amount of fines and forfeitures going to the school fund would not be nominal. The state of Wisconsin's biennial budget for 25 through 27 contained provisions in budget motion number 130 that authorized Milwaukee County to retain 100% of traffic fines and forfeitures collected in Milwaukee County, and further included a program revenue appropriation that authorized Milwaukee County to spend such monies on the operations of the district attorney's office. D. The budget motion left zero amount of Milwaukee County fines and forfeitures going to the Common School Fund, thereby depriving the Common School Fund of an estimated $2.2 million per year. E. Zero is less than nominal. Now, therefore, be it resolved that BCPL recognizes its fiduciary duties under the Wisconsin Trust Code with respect to the Common School Fund. Be it further resolved that BCPL expresses its serious concerns that Wisconsin budget motion number 130 with respect to fines and forfeitures collected in Milwaukee County and appropriated to Milwaukee County to pay for the operations of the district attorney's office may not comply with the Wisconsin Constitution and the Wisconsin Supreme Court opinion on this point of law. Be it further resolved that BCPL recognizes Milwaukee County's need for funding the district attorney's office, but not at the expense of a constitutionally created and protected trust fund that benefits public education. And be it further resolved, BCPL recommends that BCPL and the other parties seek a legislative solution that addresses the above concerns prior to commencement of litigation.
Thank you. Any questions? But actually, I'm going to move to approve the resolution as read. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seeing there's a second, any questions, comments, debate? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the resolution, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
This is Josh. I abstain.
Aye, John.
The resolution is approved. And then, Tom, I guess we'll ask that this be that the parties are notified in the next 24 hours of the resolution.
I will do my best to notify as many parties as soon as possible. Right. Within 24 hours, maybe beyond my abilities there, but I will do my best.
And then send us all a copy as well.
Will do.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. There is no new business, so we will move into routine business. And Rich is I don't think Rich has a chief investment officer's report, because based on what we talked about, we knew this meeting was going to be long. So we asked for it to be deferred to the next meeting, which I think makes sense. Tom, I don't know if you have a report.
I have some minor things, but comparatively, those can wait as well.
We appreciate that. I will hold up my update until our next meeting. Any additional or future agenda items?
Besides putting something like this on the agenda for next time as well. Yeah. I think this is going to be continuing.
Under old business for a while.
Yeah.
Agreed, John. All right. Well, seeing that this will continue under old business, I move to adjourn. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor of adjourning our meeting, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, John.
Our meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody.